for Melbourne Airport parking. Book your Melbourne Airport parking online. It's cheaper than you think. And Self-Wealth. Trade the ASX, no matter what size the trade, for just $9.50 per trade.
On 11.16 SEN, Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Tim, thanks. Property investment. Learn about property investment one-on-one. Wow, what a big hour we've got. Jason Richardson, who is a Wednesday regular, unless he's got a better gig, wanders in. G'day, Richo.
Which is hopefully often, but good to be with both of you. I've loved your show so far. I love Tim in particular, because this is my area of expertise in the racing industry, is the out of the side of your mouth sort of stuff.
The side whisperer.
The side whisperer, but you can't just talk normal, Tim.
Is there a side whisperer in racing?
Everyone's a side whisperer.
Is that where it comes from?
Of course it is, because everyone gives you a tip, but they want to do it off the side of your mouth, you know what I'm saying?
You've got to talk like that, though.
I don't know if it necessarily needs to have a lisp when you do.
Well, it's a visual and a visual medium.
Hey, we're getting a lot of feedback still coming through about Liz Cambage and Lauren Jackson, too, about the penalty.
You haven't seen it, Rich, are you telling me? So what I'm going to do is while we facilitate some talk back after having spoken to Lauren Jackson, Sano Chilaro is here. He's out the back at the moment just familiarising himself with some other controversy.
Well, that's right. Where a young man came across an interesting tackle. I don't know what was going on there. And Liz Cambage is
front
and centre.
You have a look at this, while we do...
Please.
Yeah. Well, this is some of what has come through in the last 20 minutes. If another country's player did it to us, we'd scream bloody murder. Usual as weak when we're on our own. That's what we're talking about, the penalty against Liz Cambage. But then this too, I take my daughter to watch the WNBL and Liz Cambage gets targeted every week with cheap whacks and niggles. It's like taggers in AFL getting under somebody's skin. And hypocritical too, to say it's a soft penalty from the WNBL, as the AFL was soft on Sam Mitchell, who was a repeat offender for the same type of repeated incidents from Macca on the road.
And Lauren, to be fair, I think she was speaking from a Boomer's perspective to say that they were happy with the penalty because it meant that Liz only missed the one game.
I think she went deeper than that. She was saying,
"Well, I'm trying to stick up for her because right here she's copying a fair whacking." I think Lauren Jackson's response is pathetic. The incident was a terrible incident. Trying to justify creates a bad precedent. My thoughts on Lauren Jackson have now changed. That's Tony from Canberra.
And what's the injury to the player?
A corked hamstring. So she's still has a big bruise appeared on her leg, and she's been unable to complete full training during the week as well, but they believe that she'll be okay to play at the weekend.
I don't think it looked appropriate, but I don't think that was her intent. Wasn't she just protecting her space and being a bit of niggling? I reckon you're being harsh, you two. You've been out of the game.
Did you watch the right bit of vision?
Of course I did.
Sano Chilaro joins us, and what a great delight it is to have him in the studio, given that there's so much happening in the world game, and we organised it. We rang the
FFA.
And said, we've got Sano coming in at 8. Could you possibly get Ange to have an announcement at 9? And they said, we're happy to do that.
I gave him a quick call and said, come on, Ange, get on with it. I'm on with the boys.
What do you think he's going to say at 9 o'clock
this
morning?
It is so hard.
We're going to take it live here on SEN, by the way.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. It's so hard to read Ange because he genuinely is his own man. I know him reasonably well. And he's his own man. Even his autobiography, which is an excellent read, is not, you know, my story. It's called Changing the Game. He has different agendas from what most people have. So for all we know, he might think, I've done all I can to this point. I've got them this far. They need a different kind of coach now. So he might take that take.
But isn't he doing the press conference with the head of FFA?
Yeah.
Yep.
So therefore, I've got a theory.
Yeah,
surely,
good,
if he's... If he's staying on as a coach, then he would have a press conference with the president of the FFA. If he's moving on, he could just do it on his private rogue. So why would he be standing alongside the president of FFA if he's going to leave?
I'm with you. I think that he will stay. I'm 60-40 that he will stay.
Are you? That's a change, though, isn't it? That was almost fait accompli.
That he was going to go.
Man, Carl says, fait of a compli.
It is a fait of compli.
We do it the French way. I think there are clearly things that we don't know about that he wanted in place through the administration. I don't know whether it's setting up a training camp in Europe. We don't know what they are. He's got some certain things that he thinks that the game needs in order to go forward. And he won't be happy unless he has those. And if he doesn't, he'll just move on. So if they can come to those agreements, then he'll stay. Because he'll be one of the few people to go to two World Cups. That's a great... I think it's very hard to say no to that voice in your head going, hey, mate, you're going to a World Cup.
And why would he leave? What else? Where's the competitive tension?
The
what
only
else is on?
Theory was, and this is only theorising...
I love
was,
a theory.
...that he had a big job offer overseas for a big international club, which is going to pay him plenty, and that he had always expressed, I know you can tell me if I'm wrong, but had always expressed the desire to get back into club football.
He does, because that's his strength. He's done some amazing jobs with clubs, and he loves being with the team week in, week out. And I think doing the national thing where you see them once every 3 months is not really his cup of tea. That's my read.
Sando, he's been under the pump. We've heard a lot from him in defending himself and his position, that type of thing. And he also touched on the fact that he believes some of the commentary around him and what he's doing has been racist or has had a racist undertone. Do you buy into that as well?
I have actually really said that has a racist... that he'll always be an outsider.
That's right, but you know, it's sort of like the old WOG thing in Australia, that type of thing. We haven't moved on. There's been some childish barbs that have been directed in his way.
You know what? Strangely enough, I actually haven't heard that. That's interesting. I think that's an interesting way, because I think there are some people that operate in us versus them. Mm-hmm. Mick Malthouse was a great, it's us versus them, so... I'll be antagonistic, and that's just the way I work. That gets the best out of me. So that might be the way he works. But I do think that there have been things thrown at him that have been pretty unfair. I reckon it's hard to qualify for a World Cup. And if we think that it's, you go, hang on, we've done it for 3 years. We almost beat Italy in 2006. We're a good side. We ought to be there. It's really tough, as has been shown, around the world. Holland didn't make it. Italy didn't make it. And, USA, Chile, one of the strongest teams in the world. And the thing is that in the lead up to the World Cup, he only lost against Japan in those final phases. I know out of 22 games, he's lost two. One against Jordan, one against Japan. That's in 22 in the campaign. That's not bad, especially when we don't have the greatest squad that, is probably our weakest for a while.
You're preparing for your greatest ever sporting achievement, the Stork gift. you've been working at it. You've been running dead for however long you ran dead for.
I mean, this is good stuff.
But you've got a coach there that's with you side by side. Mm. How hard would it be if 3 weeks out, in relative terms, he said, I'm off? So what I'm saying is, how hard is it for the Socceroos in this instance if Ange decides to go and we have to put a new coach in?
Well, for a mere mortal, I mean, for me, it's hard to say as the athlete of our generation, but for us, for the mere mortals out there, that would be extremely tough, wouldn't it? Because the one thing that we notice with the Australian team is the passion they have for Ange. Mm-hmm. All the players seem to love him. Surely that has an impact on Ange. Wouldn't he feel a responsibility to go all the way through the journey with him?
Yes, but there are different phases in World Cups, and people realise that in order to make a mark at a World Cup, you might need to go to a completely different level. And also, you're not there week in, week out with him. And that's why I think he loves club football so much. So I think that if he were to make the announcement today that he's not going to be there, I think that the players would adapt to that pretty quickly. I think that they will miss him, because I think that they do like him and play for him. There are some great stories, especially in his book, about the things that he's done at Victory, at Brisbane Roar. There was a famous story where there was a young player called Luke Devere, who still plays for Brisbane, and Ange told him, as a young player, you're coming to Melbourne, it's going to be tough out there, it's going to be at Etihad, there's going to be 50,000 people screaming you down. I don't want you to hoof the ball out when you're in trouble. I want you to play the ball out. I don't care how hard it is. That's just the way we're going to play. And in the first 5 minutes, he got the ball in a difficult position, and rather than hoofing it out, he tried to pass it back in, got intercepted, goal straight away. The Melbourne crowd let him have it. He looked over at Ange, and Ange just shook his head, said, don't worry, it's fine. 5 minutes later, he got caught again, tried to do the same thing, got picked off, and they scored. Oh. Anyway, they lost heavily that day. They lost 3-1. Ange took him aside at the end of the game.
Chopped his head off.
His head off. Gone. He's finished. And told the whole team, hey, that is the bravest thing. That is the best thing I've ever seen on a football field. We should congratulate that boy. That is unbelievable. And then after that, they were undefeated, and they still hold the record for the most undefeated games.
That's a great insight into Ange Postecoglou. I can't believe I'm about to to say this, but we know that the Italians have missed out on the World Cup.
Have they? I haven't seen the game yet. I'm going to watch it.
Is it possible that we can use the Italians to help us prepare for the World Cup?
Well, their coach is out of a job now. we could use him.
Can you use your influence?
We'd like the Italians to come out here and just help the Australians prepare for the World Cup. Is that possible?
I don't think that's a...
You're well connected.
I am well connected, but that is not a good idea. Trust me. It is so funny in Italy at the moment. By the way, I wanted last week, did I get a call from SEN to come on the show?
Yes, of course. Because you refused to come on. You were so...
Can I tell you the story?
So downhearted.
No, my sister called me and she said, they're talking about you on SEN. They're saying you're in a fetal position. You can't come on. How is this for a crazy story? Last week, I was out with Glenn Robbins and Tom Gleisner. We're filming All Aussie Adventures. That's coming back.
Yeah,
from the makers of Utopia, All Aussie Adventures.
I love that.
Anyway, so we're out in central Victoria. We're in an obscure motel. You know how cable channels are pretty random in motels in the middle of nowhere?
Yeah.
And I knew that Italy game was on ESPN the following morning. And I'm going, wouldn't it be good if ESPN was on? So I've looked at cable and it's got Country Hits Network. It's got the Cartoon Network, Sky News, Footy Channel, ESPN.
No.
So I wake up early in the morning, watch the first half, wasn't very good. Then I had to go out shooting. So I didn't know what was going on. Out of courage, I couldn't. And then when I drove back in, the phone just went ping, 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 ping.
We thought you'd just thrown the toys out of the cot because as soon as Italy lost, we said, let's contact our famous Italians in
that's
this
right.
town. We this is the pecking list. Order, so you'll be interested to see where you slotted
in. Please?
Dipper. Dipper's response was, what game? I think it was Paul Dimatina. He said he was too busy at the pub. Tony Liberatore, who said, what game?
Oh, no.
So and Soss. And then we thought,
where's the Silvani?
So then Santa. Fifth, you're in the top five.
Oh, I'm in the top five. That's okay. It's so hilarious. It almost took the Italian coach as long as Robert Mugabe to retire. And they're still pointing fingers. Everybody's going, well, it's not my fault. You're the one that chose him. Going, no, I didn't choose him. I didn't. It's awful.
There's
it's
a moment. TV show on that for you guys. I'm assuming Santo, Sam Pang and Ed Cavalier.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Total Footy Podcast. It's from now right through the FIFA World Cup. You can get in on demand via Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, yeah. We love talking about it. We just can't stop doing our show. We started doing shows 2010 for SBS on the World Cup. And every time we've tried to stop, we keep texting each other sort of observations and jokes and stuff, so we just keep going.
Get on, have a listen. Now, we're going to get to this man who's going to tell us what's happening in the world markets.
For Melbourne Airport parking, it's cheaper than you think. MelbourneAirport.com.au and SelfWealth. Trade the ASX, no matter what size the trade, for just $9.50 per trade.
On 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Adam, did you see what happened there?
I did, unfortunately. Michael Morone came over to get the ball off the ball boy. The ball boy didn't give it. And Chris Griffith-Jones knows the story and he's given him a straight red. He is off. The poor ball boy is so rattled, it's not funny. He doesn't know what's come on. It looked like a bear hug on the ball kid.
There's Adam Peacock, who's commentating for the Fox Sports. When it happens live, sometimes you need to see it back over and again. I'd be interested to see if he's got that same...
Was that an accurate description of what you saw?
Well, I thought...
Hang on. Let's go to our soccer expert.
You're going to the expert because I'm Italian as well, and I reckon there's a bit of Italian in that boy.
Did it go down too easy?
He didn't go down too easy. I thought he made the most of it afterwards.
Can you tell
opinion.
Me this?
What?
The Wisp said this to me today, which... I'm not familiar with it, but...
Is this about to be racist?
No.
I know he's a racist kind of guy. you should see him at South Melbourne Market. No, I think you got the Greeks there.
No, that's an upset.
Oh, my God.
Is it true that ball boys are part of the, the sort of academies, and therefore they are told to hang on to the ball?
They are told. It's no surprise that...
Is that right?
They're told to hang on the ball what?
And don't give it back because they're
to the opposition.
Yeah.
Have you heard of this thing called YouTube? Because on YouTube there's this thing where Chelsea played Swansea and Aiden Hazard.
We watched it.
Yeah. He was trying to get the ball and he had kicked it out of the boy's guts, basically.
Well, that's a generous description of it.
But boy, the ball boy made a lot out of that, didn't he?
He did.
They would have been told at Swansea, hold on to the ball. Let's just slow the pace down a little bit. Sometimes they don't need to be told. It's part of the, You know what's required of you.
Okay.
The game last night was.
And what were they?
So was that? Sorry, was what? That penalty? Is that penalty correct then? Do you think it's worth 3 weeks? A 3 week penalty, a red card.
Oh, is it all, a 3 week penalty? I think you have to set a precedent. You can't let that happen. So yep. Eden Hazard got sent off the ground for Chelsea when that happened, even though it was.
I watched that this morning first time because SME. I would have given him 12 weeks
for kicking like. For
I thought that was horrendous.
But the kid was lying over the top of the ball.
I know, but that's not open slamming and kicking him in the guts.
You can't just kick him.
I'm a bit old school here. I would have taken the belt out. I would have given a clip
so
over
if that didn't work, after you've given him a good kick to the guts and he was still lying on it, what's next?
And then go stand in the near the corner flag.
And no dinner for him when he got home? No.
I think that it's right to give those guys red cards. So I'll backtrack a little bit. Because you can't really touch ball boys. You can't do that. You can't do that.
So it's a bit like John Burke and that famous incident with Slug Jordan commentating.
You got to take the boy off.
I've been in Footy City a long time. I've never seen that, said the Slug.
That's unbelievable.
Oh, boy.
He jumped the fence and decked a spectator.
And he's done well.
That's the best bit. Well, he's done well, by the way. Because he jumps and as it goes.
All you see is the legs go up in the spectator, cop one.
Is that in Sensational 70s or Electrifying 80s? Tell me what compilation that's in.
Electrifying
80s. I reckon it's 80s.
Yeah. You've got that chance.
Where was Robert Muir on Dennis Collins?
And
I don't reckon that, is there contact?
I reckon 70s. I reckon
no, 70s. Late 70s.
Is there contact?
Well, did you play in that game?
No, I wasn't playing in that game.
St Kilda and Carlton. Yeah. Why would he be?
Why would I have been out there?
I just like to make out he's old.
Collins did make the most.
Yeah, he didn't make contact.
I don't reckon he made contact.
Well, he should be wrestling then, because that was a great move.
That was brilliant.
Hey, and Adrian's been on the line for a while. Wants to talk about Ange Postecoglou. G'day, Adrian.
Morning, boys. How are you?
Yeah, good.
I've had some great parking just outside the city,
called
the freeway.
Parking, yes, not good.
But what I thought from day one is, with Ange, is that it was pretty obvious. If I was a coach, I've got a game plan, and I think he's really trying to shake it up and take it to the world. And if it failed, I would have resigned. And if it didn't fail, I'd keep it going because I've got 6 more months to perfect it and really see how it turns out.
That's fair enough. Yep. So you reckon now? So I'm reading, Ange, that you think it's starting to work now. So there's no reason he should go.
Absolutely. You know, there's no point staying if what I'm doing isn't working. Everyone's going to lose faith in it anyway, and I'm going to crack a barrage of criticism. Now that I know it's working, the boys are behind it. We've got 6 months to perfect it. Yeah, I'll go for it.
Good on you, Adrian. Appreciate your call. Is it possible Ange has changed his mind?
From what? Because we don't know what.
No, I know that. So I'm talking hypotheticals. Yes. But
he was going. And
following
now he's
the
not.
Narrative from afar that as an outsider, yes. It seemed to me that he was off.
I'm with you, Chris.
Right? And then we've had this great game on the weekend. Richo just said that the love from the players.
Yes.
And watching that after the game, I'm saying they're both invested in each other. This is great. Is it possible that he's had a rethink?
I think so. I think so. To tell you the truth, I don't think he's had a rethink. I think he's always had the same idea. I think that there are probably some structures that he wants in place, and if they're there, he'll stay on, and if they're not, he won't.
Mm. Sam Kerr is one of the great soccer players in the world.
Awesome. Unbelievable.
Our girl Sam Kerr.
Unbelievable.
And yesterday she was asked whether or not she would even consider switching from soccer with the Matildas across to AFL. She said, you would have to be stupid for somebody to do that because of...
Are you paraphrasing that? Or?
No, that's exactly what she said. Okay. That would be stupid for somebody to do that. I travel the world. Nothing compares to the worldwide attention that soccer gets and get the opportunity to play in the Olympics, all that sort of stuff. If both of you had daughters and you had the choice of what they were going to do and what they were going to play, which way would you push them, AFLW or soccer?
Oh my goodness! Just in case people don't know, I'm a great footy fan. You know that I'm a great footy fan,
I know
so
that,
I do follow my footy.
You love
as
your
much
footy,
as
yeah.
As follow. I think whatever they feel that they can excel in, I would have no.
But given what Sam said, do you think she's right in what she's saying there? That you know the opportunity.
It depends. See, I love AFL because. You know, even though it's not a global game, so let's say my round ball colleagues would say, well, why are you so into AFL? It's such a local game. I love it because of that. I love having a passion for something which is so our thing.
Unique,
so,
yeah.
So therefore, I love that. However, if the girl thinks, I really want to make it on a world stage, or I think I've got something to offer, and I reckon I'm at that level, I would certainly push that before I push footy, because I think women's football is a great, women's soccer is a great thing overseas and is growing. And I think at the moment, Australia might end up, you know, we're close to being the number one country in the world, if we're not already.
No, we're six now. We're on the climb.
So I think it's a great sport for them to play. Mind you, I think women's cricket is a great... If I had a daughter, I reckon cricket would be a great sport for them to play as well. So,
well, I've got three daughters, so I could borrow, lend one over to you if you'd like, and you can trade back a son.
Well, I've got two sons, so you can take both of those. but you could have a daughter playing each
sport. I could trial it all. But it's interesting when you see...
Have you thought about this, Richard?
Absolutely, because it's been front and centre at our house.
How old are you girls?
At 10, 12 and 4... 11, 13... 13 and 15.
Do you spend much time at home?
It's not going, into too much. But are they gravitating to one sport or another?
They've been pretty successful in individual sports.
Yes.
Well, suddenly AFL has emerged.
Right.
But I was involved in the coverage with Seven of the Matildas during the build-up towards the Rio Olympics. I love that game. And when you see Emily Van Egmond, etc., Sam Kerr making serious money, travelling the world, playing in Olympics, playing at a World Cup, that's the way I'd be going. I'd be going that way. I understand the AFLW and it's fantastic and everything, but I reckon we are one girl on national television running with the flight of the ball and getting hit down the middle and having their nose spread all over their face and blood everywhere. We will all go, I can handle it when our sons do that, but gee,
respectfully,
we feel a bit awkward.
Always
about
respectfully,
our girls.
But disagree.
I think we'll feel awkward they about savvy, the, our long, young that, ladies having come.
They were savage on their attack of the footy in that first series.
I know,
savage, and there was some bad
on,
injuries.
You misunderstood what I'm saying.
Well,
of course,
no,
they're savage.
I did.
No, I'm saying us, the viewers,
visually,
the day, because the girls go where angels fear to tread, and there will be a big collision on national telly soon, where one beautiful young lady, one of our daughters,
luck.
Will be splashed.
What about Lady Richo? Which camp would she be in?
She is firmly in the non-AFLW camp. Firmly.
Hey, we're going to move on. Santo, you are, as we
always
say, most welcome, and the support and love for you is...
Well, next time we're taking over, aren't we?
Well,
guess
what? From Monday, you too. No, thanks for coming. What can we look forward to on the TV from the great
Russell
working doctor?
Russell Coyte's All Aussie Adventures next year, so we're looking forward to doing that, and probably more. Have you been paying attention? I don't know whether we'll come back for another Utopia. Maybe. We don't plan too far ahead.
When's Russell Coyte going to... I love all your other stuff, but he's one of my...
I reckon the middle of next year should be the time.
Hey, thanks for coming
it's
in, mate.
It's a pleasure. All the best.
Santo Chilaro, great friend of ours here, and always welcome. Richo's going to hang around. He's got something very, very important to talk about next. I'm not sure what it is, but it will
it's
be.
It's a theory.
And don't forget Santo, Sam,
important.
And Ed's Total Footy Podcast. You can get onto that right now. That is compulsory listening. Julian De Stoop will come back, give us the latest from the Ange Postecoglou situation. That's on at 9 o'clock, the big press conference. But first, here's Emily Angwin, news headlines.